Take your Bibles, please, and open to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 3. Take your Bibles, please. Someone beside you does not have a Bible. Please share your copy with them so everybody can see what I read this morning. I'm going to read a little bit more than normal about one of the most unusual stories in the whole Bible. This is one of the most unusual stories in the Bible. You know, some of the strangest stories you'll ever hear and read are in the Bible. A mystery book, a history book, a futuristic book. You want to know about monsters and demons and aliens? That's all right in the Bible. And so this morning, I want to read you. I've been preaching Mother's Day services for many, many years. I've never used this as a thought. But I want to preach this morning on how you can tell the real mother. How you can tell the real mother. Look at this unusual story. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 16. Solomon the king was on the throne here, the smartest man ever lived outside of Jesus. And everybody settle down now. Be real still. Kids don't need no water or nothing until church is over. 1 Kings chapter 3. Look at verse 16. Then came there two women that were harlots under the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. They shared an apartment together. These were harlots, prostitutes. And they both lived at the same house, shared an apartment. Both of them got pregnant, and both of them had babies. Look at verse 18. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night, because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept and laid it in her bosom and laid her dead child in my bosom. Verse 21. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Now what's the wisdom of Solomon? Then said the king, The one saith, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. And the other saith, Nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, Bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one, and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it neither be mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. Now there's the story of the great King Solomon, who made one of the wisest judgments anywhere in the Bible. People could not believe how wise he was. These two harlots come and stood before him. They both had babies. One of them had died. The other one was still alive. And if you followed with the reading there, they were fighting over whose baby the life. So the problem is, how do we find out who the real mother is? And King Solomon said, All right, bring me a sword. Now, Solomon knew good and well he wasn't going to cut that baby in two. It was his wisdom of finding out who the real mother was. He said, bring me a sword. We'll take that baby and lay it right there. We'll cut it in half and give you half and the other half. The other woman said, fine. That's fine. The other woman said, no, no, no. Just let her have it. Just let her have it. And he said, take it and give it to her. She is the real mother. That mother would rather another woman raise her child than to see it killed or cut in half. Moses' mother did the same thing. You remember when Moses, they were killing all the baby boys when Moses was born? And the Bible said that Moses, mama took his, and hit him in the bulrushes, and they come out and Pharaoh's daughter got him. She was thrilled and tickled that he was alive and in Pharaoh's daughter's care. She would rather him be raised at Pharaoh's house than be killed. That's the way you tell a real mother. A real mother would rather her kid be sent off to prison or anywhere rather than be killed. Her bowels yearned upon him. Now, you know, Mother's Day has been around for a long time. Now, I heard this story. If you're going to try to do something for your Mother's Day, this is off the subject for a minute. But I heard this story about this woman who had four sons. And all her sons were named Tim and Tommy and Tony and Terry. She named, and they all grew up and became lawyers and got rich. And their mother was way, way, way gone up in years, about 90 years of age. And so Timmy and Tony and Terry and Tommy wanted to do something special for their mother. And these guys made a good living. And they thought, you know something? Mom's gone, she's about 90 years old, and we've made a good living. We're going to do something nice for her this year. So Timmy went out and bought her a brand new house. Bought it for her. I mean, huge, beautiful, in a subdivision. I mean, just a beautiful yard where caretakers come. I mean, how they plant, where you go by there one day and there ain't no grass, the next day they got pretty grass. They buy it and stick it in the ground. Is that nice? Had fountains and everything squirting up. Bought that house for his mother and gave it to her. And Tommy, he went and bought his mother one of those 560 SEL Mercedes-Benz sedan, $150,000 car, and had it delivered to her, to mama, $180,000 car. Tony went and had a big theater system installed for his mother. I mean, big speakers and all kinds of things. And he had tweeters and whoopers set everywhere and all kinds of stuff. He had stuff everywhere. I mean, he spent tens of thousands of dollars on it. Big screen projector, everything, so his mama could watch TV. Well, the last one, Terry, he decided he was going to do something special for his mom. He said, Mama always liked the Bible. And he found this parrot that these guys had trained. Took like 20 preachers 15 years to train this parrot, and that parrot could quote the whole Bible. The whole Bible, brother. I mean, they'd worked for years and years. Cost him $100,000. $100,000. He had to pay it off in several years. Didn't he have all that money? Paid it off in five payments of $20,000 each for 5 years. Bought his mother that parrot that could quote the entire Bible and sent it to her. Well, they got it all delivered for Mother's Day. They lived off in other states. And a few weeks later, letters of thank you begin to come in. Timmy got one. Dear Timmy, from Mama. Dear Timmy, thank you so much for the house, but I don't need it. It's too big. All I need is a little old one-room apartment, and I really appreciate it, but thank you. I don't even need that big old house. Thank you anyway. Tommy got a letter. Dear Tommy, thank you so much for the car. It's really pretty, but I can't drive no way. I can't even see to get out, and I don't want to go nowhere, but I appreciate it a lot. Tony got a letter. Dear Tony, thank you so much for all that big stuff you bought me, but I don't even know how to turn it on. I can't turn the TV on. I can't get the speakers to work, but thanks anyway. And finally, Terry got a letter. Terry got a letter and said, Dear Terry, thank you so much. Of all my four sons, you are the only one that bought me something I could really use. The chicken was delicious. Sometimes you feel like that about your mom, amen? She ate that $100,000 bird. But anyway, when it comes time for Mother's Day like this, Sometimes you think, what do I get her? You know, can't please her and nothing, she don't like nothing. But that's the way it is sometimes. But you remember that you were once like that. And you was a little brat and she took care of you. You better remember all the things that your mother did for you. Amen? You sure have. I'm going to talk about it a little bit. How you can tell the real mother. How you can tell the real mother. The real mother loves her children. The real mother loves her children. She loves them, ladies and gentlemen. She loves them. I remember reading that story one time about this woman. Her son went and joined the army. And he'd been in the army about 3 months, and she went to, I'd been to basic training and stuff like that, and he'd been all, and boy, she came to watch them as the new soldiers came down. They were walking through a fence, and they were all going down through there, and her son, he wasn't the brightest guy in town, and they was all marching down through there going, hup, two, hup, two, hup, two, hup, two. And every time their right foot would go down, Jim's left foot would go down. And every time their left foot would go down, Jim's right foot would go down. And they were like, hup, it was like Gomer Pyle trying to get in step with them like that, you know. And he never did get it right. They were going down through there, and that mother just stood there so proud and smiled. And when she went back home, and she said, they done wonderful in his march. They were all out of step but Jim. And now that, only a mother thinks like that. Only a mother. Not my boy. No, sir, bless God. My boy's right, every one of them. Now, only mothers. Mothers, have you ever noticed how blind mothers are to their kids' fault? He said, he's a good boy. He just got in with the wrong crowd. And the wrong crowd's mother tells their kid, he's a good boy. He just got in with the wrong crowd. Only, if you ever anybody say, boy, if that was my kid, I'd beat him up. No, you wouldn't. If it's your kid, you'd be as blind as she is and wouldn't see their fault. A mother just don't seem to see their kid. You know what that is? That's a mother's love. And the hardest thing in the world to kill is a mother's love. It's harder than kudzu vine. I mean, you can't get rid of it. It's there forever and forever and forever. These harlots. And we learn a lesson here from this story this morning, folks. Harlots in those days loved their own children. Harlots, prostitutes. They didn't have an abortion. They never even thought about it. They went to the king and fought over that live baby. That shows how far we've come in this generation. A real mother loves her children. They said one time, way over in the National Gallery of London, there was this big painting. And what this painting represented was these ladies, and these two, all these rich ladies were at this table. And this rich lady had all these diamonds and gold and silver out here, you know, and everything, showing the other lady her jewels. And she said, show me your jewels. And about that time, her two boys run in, and one of them had a school book where they'd been to school, and the other lady looked at him and she said, there's my jewels. There's my jewels. A real mother thinks like that. When you ask a real mother where her jewels are, she thinks of my children. My children. You know how you know the real mother? Down this high, brother. You know how you can tell the real mother? She loves those children. She don't put them off on somebody every chance she gets so she can spend the night with her boyfriend. She don't look for excuses to get rid of them. You ever met mamas like that? Just look for excuses. Yeah, put them off on the chair. You don't want to babysit. Yeah. I heard of a man and woman in court fighting over dividing up, giving custody to the kids. And the man sitting on the stand, they said, now you'll have them every other weekend and she'll have them every weekend. And the man said, do I have to? And they were fussing over who had to watch their kid. That's not the real mother there are. You can tell a real mother by how she loves her children. Amen? That's right, brother. You can tell them. They said, then July the 4th, 1900, this big old ship went down. And there's a mother and a little baby girl, about 3 years old, on that ship. And they were the last ones to die, so they tried to figure out where their inheritance would go. It made a big difference. If the mother died first, then the children and her siblings get the inheritance. If the child died first, then the mother's family would get the inheritance. And the judge determined that the mother died first. And he said the reason he did, because he knew a mother's love. And he said if that boat was going down, that mother held that child up as long as she could and drowned herself before she had drowned her child. That's something that the world can't figure out. It's a God-given love that comes from the Lord that God puts in a real mother. That's how you can tell a real mother. Have you ever known these kids at school and they're meaner than the devil, and every time they get in trouble, their mama goes, well, he didn't do it. Well, it's impossible for them to see how mean her boy is. And that is a mother's love. It's a mother's love. They try to cover up for them. There's case after case after case after case after case when mother's love prevail. I want to say secondly this morning, you can tell the real mother because they yearn for them. That's the hardest thing in the world to kill, is a mother's love. There's one story on record where a 43-year-old man by the name of Henry Way stole $13,000 cash out of his mother's safe box. Stole it from his mother. She was 78 years old. He took that money and went and bet on a horse in a horse race and lost it. And when they found out about it, they were going to put him in prison and charge him. And the mother would not press charges. 78-year-old woman, she said, I won't see my son in prison. I can't do it to him. He's a good boy. Here. Now, only a mother thinks like that. If it had been anybody else, they'd have said, nail him. Send him off. He took $13,000 for it. That's what a mother's love is. Thank God for that. Buddy, I thank God for my mom. My mom, Lord have mercy. God only knows what she went through. You've heard me tell it over and over and over, but in her honor today, I tell it again. My mom, my sister Debbie sitting over there this morning, she'll tell you that mom, she's heard mom say the same thing. Mom used to sit in the doctor's office with all three of us with the flu and her with the flu, and had to get her brother to come and take us all to the doctor because daddy is off who knows where. And her brother would come, take us to the doctor. She'd sit there with a fever, all three kids with a fever. You think my mom ever thought one time about walking off and leaving us? Never entered her mind. Her life was her kids. Her life was her boys and or me and my sisters. And I'll tell you this morning, that's a real mother's love. Amen. It's natural. It's natural. She'd rather another woman raise it than that child be dead. And I'm telling you, you can tell the real mother. You can tell the real mother, thirdly, this morning, because a mother's love prevails. A mother's love prevails. A mother's love prevails. It always prevails. I heard of a story one time about Fulton, and Fulton was a great engineer and an inventor. And when he went to school, as with a lot of, you know, there are a lot of people that are geniuses that don't do good in school. They really are. They it's like their mind's out way out yonder somewhere. That's why I always made bad grades. And I said that this guy he was really smart. He's interested in drawing mechanics and drawing motors and engines and stuff. And his teacher talked to his mom and said, your boy, he just is not a good student. He's not very bright. And that mother wrote that teacher a letter and said, my boy's head, sir, is so full of original thoughts, there is no vacant chamber in which to store the contents of your old musty books. You know what she said? She said, my boy's so smart, he don't even want to hear all that junk you guys have. She said, my boy's got brains. And she was right. She was right. Sometimes a mother can see greatness in her boy that the world can't see and the world don't even recognize. Amen. John Wesley's mother, Susanna, she'll be mentioned at Mother's Day services all across the country today. One of the most well-known, important mothers of history, Susanna Wesley, raised 19 children. Her husband was a pastor. The reason you know of her is because two of her sons were John and Charles Wesley. And Charles Wesley wrote some of the greatest songs in our hymn book. And John Wesley started the Methodist Church and was responsible for millions of people being saved. That's just two of her 19 kids. And Susanna Wesley, you know, I've read you her rules and stuff. She took each child and gave it like an hour of what she called religious instruction alone every week. Some of y'all got two kids and don't give them an hour of time in the Lord per week. Some of y'all got one kid and don't give it 1 hour alone with each. She took each child. Said today now from 1 to 2 you got here. Tomorrow from 3 to 2. From 3 to 4 it's you. From tomorrow 5 to 6 it's you. 1 hour per week each child. They said when they had family devotions at night, the neighbors would come around. The neighbors would come to their family devotions. Just like, of course, you got 19, man. She's up there with the Duggars, buddy. And, I mean, she's up there with them people. They got there and they got to have church in their house. By the time the neighbors got there, they had more than some churches I've been to. But anyway, her mother, Susanna Wesley, she thought more of their souls than she did their bodies. And she took time to teach each one of them individually the Word of God, and she taught them. And they said when John Wesley was in college, he would write home and say, Mama, which books do I read? And she'd tell him, read this, read that, read that. That's how respectful he was of his mother. She gained their respect. She gained their respect. Ladies, your child is not going to get your respect. Ladies, if all they ever see you do is lay around on the couch watching TV or on the phone gossiping, they're not going to have respect for you if all they ever see their mama do is primp and work on herself and try to be pretty so she can flirt with the guys at work. Your kids are not going to respect you if all they ever see you do is do something wrong or something wicked or for yourself. Set that godly example for them like Susanna Wesley did and say, look, we're going to read the Bible, we're going to try to live by the Bible, and we're going to love the Bible, and we're going to go to church, and Jesus is your best friend, and brother, produce some men and boys and girls that can be a blessing to this country. I want to say a couple things and I'm through. They said, years ago, Chicago Tribune, the newspaper, a reporter noticed somebody offered a $5,000 reward for anybody who could find out who killed this police officer. And the guy who they convicted of killing him was in jail, was prison. His name is Joe. And they said, somebody put an article in the paper, $5,000 for if anybody can find the real killer of this police officer. Case is unclosed. And the reporter sort of, it caught his ear and his eye, and he thought, well, who done that? And come to find out, it was the man's mother. Joe's mother. Her name was Tilly. And Tilly, Joe'd been in jail nearly 12 years. And that woman, Tilly, had worked 11 years, 8 hours a day, scrubbing floors, and saved up $5,000. And said, I'll give it to the person that can find the real killer. My boy didn't do it. What do you think about that? 3,500 nights of backaches. Scrubbing floors. The reporter went and he started digging up facts and digging up. You know how them reporters, they can sniff things out, man. And he started digging up facts and digging up facts. And lo and behold, they did find the real killer. And Joe was proved innocent and released out of prison. And she took him home and baked him a cake. And she said, I didn't eat a bite of it. I just sat there and watched him as he ate that cake. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The closest thing in the world to God's love is mother's love. Stories like that all through history. Mom used to tell us one. And I know my sister Debbie, I'm sure she remembers saying this, but Mom used to tell us a story when I was little. It used to scare me. Because I didn't really understand it. But the older I got, especially when I started preaching, I started remembering it. And I just read it again last night. And it said, in some town, it's been told different ways, but the base of the story is, this woman had this little girl, and her little girl always noticed that her mama wore gloves. And she wore gloves all the time. And she'd never even really seen her mama's hands. And when her friends would come over, they'd say, why does your mama wear gloves? She said, I don't know. She always wears them. And when people have come up for a birthday party, they'd say, does your mama wear them gloves all the time? She said, yes, she wears gloves all the time. She wore gloves on her hands all the time. And her mom, they looked and they said, why? She said, I don't know. So one day, when she started getting a little older, she just asked her, said, Mama, why do you wear them gloves all the time? Why do you do that? And the mama said, sit down, honey. She said, I knew that one day you'd be old enough to ask me this, and I'm going to tell you. When you was real little, just a little baby, our house caught on fire. And she said our house caught on fire, and she said it was coming up around the doors and around the... And she said we were upstairs, and the smoke was terrible, and we were going to die. And she said the fire department came, and people were down there hollering, and she said, honey, the flames were so hot, you couldn't stand to go up out the bedroom door and through the hallway. And she said, I grabbed you in a blanket, and I wrapped you up in that blanket. And I went to the window and raised it through the window, and I dropped you down, and somebody caught you down on the ground. And she said, I couldn't go out because there was too much fire in the door. And she said, the smoke was choking me. And she said, I didn't have but one choice, was to climb out that window. And she said, I took my hand and I put them on that window frame and I climbed out the window. And she said, when I hit down there, it hit on some sticks and stuff down in the yard, and it ripped my hands and it burned my hands, and they're not pretty, they're ugly, and I don't want nobody to see them. And the little girl said, Mama, I want to see your hands. So she took her gloves off, and they was awful. They was scarred, had big cut where she had been cut. And you know how a burn leaves, just her whole hand was like that. That little girl said, I fell in love with my mother's hands. She said, Mama, those hands are beautiful. And that's why we always preach. That's why we always teach that the closest thing in the world to the love of God Almighty is a mother's love for that child. Because years and years and years ago, before you was ever born, there's a man right now got scars in his hands that he got for you before you even know what he's doing. And his name's Jesus. And they took him up one day when I was in sin, when little Danny ought to have been going to hell and would have went to hell. But they put nails in his hands and nails in his feet. And brother, the scars in the hands of the Lord Jesus show how much he loved me. Boy, and he loves you too. How could you just walk over that? How could you sit here this morning and say, no, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to live the way I want to live. I'm going to do what I want to do. We don't have a right to live our life like we want to live it. God help us today. God help us today. The real mother is the mother's love prevailed. Mothers, don't give up. If you got a rebellious child, don't give up. Happens over and over and over. It may not happen today or tomorrow, but don't give up on your children. You know, the Lord wants to do something special in here this morning. And I believe that there's somebody here this morning that needs to get your heart right with God toward your mother, toward your child, but most of all toward the Lord. Because that's the closest thing there is to God's love is a mother's love. She is the mother thereof. Ain't nothing like it. Wild horses couldn't tore my mom. Well, if Hollywood would have offered my mom a job and said, come and live in Hollywood, she'd have laughed at them. She'd laugh. You know, people used to think like that. People used to say, hey, I ain't leaving my family for nothing or nobody. Nowadays, you offer people money, they just take up and just desert the whole thing. It's a sad day we're living in. She is the mother thereof. Would you stand, please, and bow your head in prayer? Let's stand, please. Every head bowed.